dialing 8th and Walton conference call. Please wait while others join.
You're dialed in to the conference call, brought to you by 8th and Walton. The 8th and Walton conference call is a podcast for retailers, suppliers, and industry leaders to keep you up to date on what's going on in your industry. From what's happening around the world to what's happening across the street, this is one call with an agenda tailored specifically for you. Your call is starting, and now your host, Jared Davis.
All right, here we go. Hey, welcome. Welcome to the 8th and Walton conference call. My name is Jared Davis. Very happy that you took a couple of minutes to dial up our little program this week because, I mean, seriously, it's a busy one, isn't it? Think about everything that we have going on in retail over the next few weeks. So we're here on the brink of Walmart shareholders meeting. Then we got the Made in the USA Summit, which is coming up. Back to school shipments are going fast and furious. Then 4th of July. 4th of July is going to be here before you know it. And I don't mind telling you, it stinks this year. Emma, 4th of July is falling on a Wednesday this year. She knows I hate it when a holiday falls right in the middle of the week. How are we supposed to celebrate that? I go on that long tangent to say two things. One, we are very appreciative to have you here today, so thank you. And number two, speaking of 4th of July and summer and grilling and celebrating, we have got a fantastic show and a great guest today. Last week, I had the pleasure of visiting with Mr. Michael Turley, who is CEO of Zephyr Foods. Michael Turley and his business partners have vast backgrounds with Tyson, and now they've come together to form Zephyr Foods, and they're focused on a really exciting project of bringing kosher beef to the mass market. I sat down with Michael for a few minutes to find out about the process of marketing kosher products and this new demand for more kosher choices from today's shoppers. Very enlightening conversation and great tips for aspiring entrepreneurs as well. As a matter of fact, I'm not even going to make you wait any longer. Let's go ahead and play that interview. Michael Turley with Zephyr Foods. Emma, that is cut number three. Cut number three, please.
Well, Michael, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. Happy to be here. Hey, first of all, I want to ask about the company itself, Zephyr Foods. Now, how did this all come together? I understand you're formerly from Tyson.
I am. It's been one of the food companies I've worked for the past 18, 19 years, but so are my two partners, Milo Graff and Kevin Potter. Milo and I actually were together at Advanced Food Company years ago.
So how did you all come together to then form Zephyr Foods?
We came together. We all three were in places looking for something to do ourselves. And feeling like there were opportunities in the marketplace to do things a little different. At the time, Milo was doing something else in logistics, and I approached him with an idea that I had, and Kevin likewise. So we started Zephyr Foods, and we were on one path, frankly, and then this fresh beef and kosher beef opportunity came to us after we were already together.
So I want to talk about that because there are some packaged kosher items, but we don't see kosher beef. Now, why is that?
It's extremely hard to do. Of the kosher products out there, it's the most difficult thing to do because the processing and dealing with, you know, a live animal, unlike packaged goods that might deal with just flour, the agricultural grown items, fresh beef, fresh poultry, are just extremely hard to do.
For anyone who's listening that might not know, what is the real difference in a kosher beef?
There's two primary things that would make beef in a package be kosher. Number one is the way that they actually slaughter the animal. That's actually done by a rabbi in a very specific way. How that's done dates back to biblical times. But then secondly, once the animal is slaughtered, there's an internal inspection process that is very rigorous, very specific. And, you know, all things being equal, you could have two animals that are perfectly healthy, prime beef, great, but if there is any like imperfection in the lung, then that animal can't be kosher. So it's just a hyper-sensitive process that ensures that only the top animals can become kosher.
So speaking of the top animals, where exactly are the cattle farmed?
So ours are coming from two regions, primarily in Idaho, and then also in kind of southern Pennsylvania area, two areas that generate really high-quality black Angus beef, which is where our specific animals are grown.
So on kosher beef, is this something that hasn't been available to the masses up to this point?
It really hasn't. Right now, one, it's scarce, period. You might find it fairly regularly in markets in New York City, but Northwest Arkansas, you can't find it anywhere, or Texas, or particularly the middle part of the United States, you just can't find it.
Well, now you open up kind of an interesting topic there just about demand and consumer demand. Are we seeing more demand for kosher beef outside of religious communities?
Absolutely. The research that we've done since this came to us back in July, there is strong consumer demand for it, and not from necessarily Jewish population. In fact, more than two-thirds of those that choose to eat kosher and say that they eat kosher are not Jewish at all. But they place a certain trust in things being kosher, and it's been characterized as like the good housekeeping seal that maybe our parents or grandparents look for, that when folks see kosher, they know it's just a higher level of quality in the product.
So, Michael, what's next for Zephyr Foods?
So, you know, next for us, outside of the kosher, we've got a really exciting project that we're doing around single-source ground beef, and the brand is called One Source. And we're getting real close to launching that, and that's going to be very unique in the industry in that a package of ground beef will be traceable to a single animal, unlike today where a package of ground beef might be from one or 1,000 animals in a single package. Again, an area that we weren't looking for, and I can't take credit for having that great of an eye and ear for the market, but something that came to us that, hey, there's a need, there's a desire, and we need somebody to do this. And so we like hard challenges. We like things that have strong barriers to entry and difficult. And we feel like we can conquer those and be successful. So those are our two projects right now.
So those are the two projects. When you look way down the line for Zephyr Foods, what's the ultimate goal?
Our ultimate goal, we frankly don't have a financial number or a headcount number. You know, we want to build a great food company that we can leave to our kids or that, you know, somebody might be interested in someday. But frankly, it's really hard in the startup mode to look past tomorrow. You know, we hope tomorrow goes well. But, you know, we just really, and I know that sounds a little corny, but we're just trying to make the best decisions today to build and sustain a great company.
So, Michael, do you plan on keeping the company in Northwest Arkansas?
Absolutely. We love Northwest Arkansas. We're transplants. I've only been here about 6.5 years, but it's quickly become home. But outside of that, we'll be hard-pressed to find a place with greater resources, from the university to the people that are here to, you know, the Fortune 100 companies that are here and the talent that's here. And then you throw in the lifestyle things of Northwest Arkansas. I just can't imagine there being a better place to build and grow a company.
Now that you're the perfect person to ask this question, for the aspiring entrepreneur out there, someone who's working for a supplier, and they've got this kind of idea to kind of go on, what advice do you have for them?
You know, at least the way that we've approached it, I think no matter how great the idea, forcing yourself not to rush it. You know, I think we could be further along in our plan and process if we were willing to say, hey, that's good enough. But we've really forced ourselves from day one to, whether it's packaging, hey, could it be a little better? Yeah, it probably could. Okay, then it's not done. Right. So for us, we feel like that's even going back in time for all of our careers. When we've been most successful is when we've taken the time to make sure it's absolutely whatever it is the very best that it could be.
Michael, we appreciate you being on the podcast. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. I've enjoyed it. Look forward to next time.
And that's going to wrap it up for this episode of the 8th and Walton Conference Call. We really do appreciate you being with us today. Hey, this is Jared Davis reminding you this podcast does not exist without you. We really do love hearing from you. So you know what? Drop me a line. Let me know what you'd like to hear on some upcoming shows. Who knows? We may visit you and find out what's news, rumors, and gossip around your office water cooler.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily the views of 8th and Walton or its management. If you have comments or suggestions about this program, contact us at jared@nathanwalton.com, 479-715-6700, or at athanwalton.com. 8th and Walton, Inc. is in no way associated with or endorsed by Walmart Stores, Inc., or its affiliates. All references to Walmart Stores, Inc., as well as its affiliates, trademarks, and brands are used in accordance with the Fair Use Doctrine and are not intended to imply that 8th and Walton, Inc. is a Walmart Stores, Inc. vehicle for advertising or for any other commercial purpose.